are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, so the good news is that joy is contagious, right? And so is kindness. Selfless service doesn't just change you, it can actually light up a whole entire community. Now imagine a world where people outserve each other. The competition is, I want to serve you more than you can serve me. I want to love you more than you can love me. Maybe not in traffic in Joburg, but still, serving with joy is not just a good deed, it's a kingdom strategy. So we want to talk about this with Pastor Manya, this final session that we have together, speaking on the joy of selfless service. Pastor Manya, good morning once again, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. And good morning to the listeners.
All right, Pastor. This is our final session speaking about this subject. Would you please pray for us as we get into it?
Thank you so much. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the privilege of life today and the confidence that you have in us that we should be numbered among the living and partake of your daily bread provided for us. As we conversate, may the Holy Spirit guide our discussion, instilling even much hope in those who are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor, we're talking about joy as something contagious. And so how would you say that one act of selfless service can spark a ripple effect in one's home or school or community?
You know, like we have been, we've been coming out throughout the past session, and our emphasis really has been that selfless service should be a lifestyle, and the impact of that lifestyle should have satisfaction at the end of the day. You should be satisfied that you have done something that has impacted positively someone's life, which is not maybe just for a temporal need, but it has also impacted them to think even much deeper concerning their eternal needs, okay, meeting their eternal needs. And I want to relate what you have asked to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, let your light shine, okay? Mm-hmm. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Mm. So one act of selfless service has this ripple effect of you noticing firstly that you are doing that which God has sanctioned, God has approved to do. Mm. Okay, without doubt, God has said this is what you should do. This is, should be part of you, and this kind of speaks to us that it may. I want to reason it now that it may be a rare commodity or a rare experience among humanity to have these selfless acts of service. But it is God's ideal that we should be and have such activities on a daily basis as part of our lifestyle. So, and its impact is that people will see the good works that you do and glorify God, our Father in heaven, and much, I think, to a more detailed space, you'll find that people will begin to really see, have hope. With a contrast, the world is so selfish, the world is biased in terms of its help, but if a selfless service comes in, it is not segregative, it meets people at different points of need, and those people will begin to realize, wow, so there are people who can really meet other people's needs and are concerned about their needs and selflessly be available for such.
That's beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
And why do you think joy spreads more effectively than duty? When we're teaching people service, many times we focus on the duty. You must take care of, you know, the less fortunate. You must give to the poor. You must feed the hungry. We focus so much on the duty and not so much on the joy, the fact that that's actually supposed to bring us joy. Why do you think joy spreads more effectively than duty?
Yeah, Ellen, cheerfulness is the atmosphere of heaven. Mm. Yeah, it's the atmosphere of heaven. So in the religious life, it is strength. Cheerfulness is a positive duty to resist melancholy as much as duty as it is to pray. So she's speaking of cheerfulness as something that is not an option when it comes to our allegiance to God. Cheerfulness is the atmosphere of heaven, which we can relate to as joy in this respect. Mm. And joy is the atmosphere of heaven, and all joy is filled when we comply with the will of God. And like I said in the beginning, that it's selfless duty is the purpose why God has called us to be of children. It's not just salvation from sin, but it is salvation from sin into the acts of selfless service. Mm. And there lies in the depth of our joy, because we begin to realize that which the kingdom of God stands for is the only place, and not any other, is the only place satisfaction, our utmost satisfaction. Therefore, as we engage in these acts of selfless service, we are not doing it as people that are forced to do it, or as a program that has to take place, but we are doing it as an act of who we are, who we are according to how God has called us. And I think that should resonate joy in us, because firstly, you are able to see yourself shining on behalf of God. You are able to see yourself living by the principles of God. You are able to see how other people are being impacted positively, and their lives changing because of your touch. Mm. Of your touch. Yeah.
Beautiful.
If
we would have that kind of a focus, instead of just focusing on what it is that we're doing, on the importance of the duty itself, while the duty is important, of course, but we also need to remember, especially if we want to inspire other people to carry it forward, to pay it forward, and to also continue in the life of service, we want to make sure that they understand that there's joy in it as well. Now, how can we create a culture of joyful service in our communities? How do we do that?
I'm trying to see, the Bible speaks of giftedness, spiritual gifts that we are given when we cooperate with God and collaborate with Him. He gives us gifts of service. Mm-hmm. Okay, or gifts of ministry. And Peter acknowledges that sentiment in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Mm. As faithful stewards of God's grace. If we begin to understand that our contentment in this life comes through our use of gifts to serve others, then we will begin to clearly align ourselves with help us on an individual basis, community basis, or church basis, where each one of us is involved to impact someone's life. Mm. Because each one of us has something that they can do Okay, something that can do. A family can still come up together instead of just waiting for, like I've been, we've been emphasizing consecutively in this session, waiting for a particular program to be announced, maybe on a Sabbath or on a Sunday or on any other religious day. A family can still adopt a continuous cycle of a program where they say, okay, as a family, we will adopt maybe a hospital ward. Mm. A hospital ward which we will be visiting, exposing your children to acts of kindness and acts of selfless service, or maybe adopt an orphanage, maybe a child who's vulnerable in a certain space. And it is clear, it's a clear mandate in the family that this we are doing because it's our obligation to give that which we also have, we have received from the Lord, to extend it to others. Mm-hmm. So to create this atmosphere, it calls for us to understand that this lifestyle is a lifestyle to change our minds. It's a mindset change, mm-hmm, where we move intentionally from that self-focused life to a selfless life of considering others. If you don't do it, it can't happen. Mm-hmm. But if you choose for it to happen, you will begin to see the regular opportunities that are there for you to be of help or extend yourself to other people. Mm. Yeah, in this service, and it will definitely bring satisfaction. It will definitely bring satisfaction because it's something that you will plan for, you will pray for, and you will strategize to position yourself into it and see to it that you execute the plan. You execute the plan.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. And then for us as families and friend groups and communities, how can we serve together? What ideas would you have for us to be able to serve together as a group of friends or as a family or as a group of families for a greater impact?
Well, today the needs of society are quite vast. They are vast, and you don't really need to waste time to begin to understand the needs of society. And the only way possibly we can one of the ways possibly is to identify that the impact is more when people of common mindsets collaborate. Yeah, so if we collaborate on the aspect of our identity of needs, we can come up with various programs. Like I've mentioned, there are a lot of needs that are there amongst the youths, amongst the children, amongst those who are differently abled, others who are having different disorders, and others who are just having needs. Because, you know, when you talk about human needs, sometimes we restrict them just to buying of clothing, food, and handing in of cash to individuals. Mm-hmm. But we are looking at also having strategic programs that impact society, programs that against gender-based violence against women, children, and against men, and many other social vices that are there, drug abuse programs that can come up to impact those who are in addictive behaviors, mm, and family programs that address issues of parenting. Because, you know, today families don't have time for each other. They don't have time for each other, and this has caused a lot of chaos in the world because parents are busy with money to help meet the needs of their children, and creating programs really of that kind would be of greater impact because the society or the community identify the need of a community and then build it up from there and see how others can be of blessing to us to through the program really that you put together as a group of friends or families, because you possibly maybe you've gone through such a situation and you'd want to share how you survived, that situation, and you are ably stating to them that it is possible for you to overcome, because I was once in your space, now I am no longer there.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then what kind of legacy would you want to leave? You know, what kind of legacy would you want to leave when it comes to serving others? What do you want to be remembered for?
Again, I would want to maybe take our minds to, there's a book, The Ministry of Healing, page 470, which says, the strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. is a loving and lovable Christian. And here is a struggle, because loving, in this respect, you are saying one who stays in the love of Christ, they are able to love others. And if they are able to love others, they are able to leave an impact, a legacy, in this case we are calling. That legacy is people being able to love back. Through what you have done for them, can you do something that and one's life can change to love? You know, there are people who have reached a point where they say, I think I'm no longer interested in all this. Through your acts and through presence, can people change their mind to have hope reignited from abuse, from addictions? Can their minds change to begin to be loving and being lovable through your acts of love? So what legacy really would I want, if it's in my perspective, would I really want to live when it comes to saving others? It is to see people keeping their hope alive. It is to see people keeping their hope alive. Knowing for a fact that God has chosen each one of us who love him to be streams of hope to others. And through our life situations, we can still relate with others and assure them that if God has done it for me, definitely even you are not far from the reach of God.
Amen.
You are not far from the reach of God. Yeah. You are not far from the reach of God. We, in spite of what you are going through, I may give you something that is physical for now. It may be temporal. But I think what is assuring and eternal is that you can still trust in God, who has promised us a life that is much, much, much better and unfathomable from what we are experiencing today.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, my pastor. How would you wrap up this entire conversation that we've been having through the week? What words would you use just to bring it all into a nutshell and to just have a summary of the key points that you want to make sure that we don't forget?
I would want to reflect to say that let service be your lifestyle. And let joy be the fuel your service.
Amen.
Yeah. And understand that the gospel spreads best through our hearts on fire with joy, not guilt, not obligation, but overflowing love. And that we are all capable of having, especially if our lives are aligned with Christ, we are able to be of a lovable service to others. And now I pray that each one of us can just whisper that prayer to God, to say, God, here I am. Make me available for a joyful, selfless service. And we see what God does in the rest of your life. I feel that's how I can just wrap up our wonderful week.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's been a pleasure speaking with you this entire week and engaging with you on this subject. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your insights. And I trust that all our listeners have been blessed and that they've been challenged to engage in selfless service and experience the joy that comes from doing that. God bless you, Pastor. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invite, and happy Sabbath to you.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.